for the NBA Finals, World Series, and College Football's National Championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
And without further ado, joining us right now, longtime NFL insider. You can find his work on SiriusXM Fantasy. He does SiriusXM NFL work. You can check him out all over the place there. And of course, I understand you're doing some stuff with Guru as well. It's Adam Kaplan, a longtime friend of mine and of the show. Kaplan, welcome in. It's good to have you in, brother.
Guys, good to be with you. Yeah, it's been some years. Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to you guys, catching up and going around the NFL. Lots going on. I'm actually just ready to go to the Senior Bowl, Lance. I'm sure you are.
I am.
In less than 2 weeks.
It's been a while. It's been two senior. Yep. I haven't been to Senior Bowl. I guess in 2020 I went because COVID's kind of shut it down in March. But do you remember last time you were here, I took you to a place and you had something before we went to a Texans practice. Do you remember where we went?
All right. So if I'm not mistaken, it was I got a good veggie burger. Didn't the place burn down, if I'm not mistaken?
And rebuilt.
Yeah.
Pete's Fine Meats.
I remember. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Gosh, I don't even remember what year that was.
He loved their veggie burger.
Vegan. Yeah, you haven't seen me, Lance. I'm down about 30 pounds.
Are you really?
I play tennis like 3 to 5 days a week all year. Wow. And at the start of the pandemic, I got heavy. I was 245. I was like, this can't continue. I looked gross and felt gross. And I just, I don't play basketball anymore. I'm like, I asked a friend of mine to play, and I started playing. I got hooked. I'm sort of hooked with tennis. I didn't think that would ever happen, but I love it. In fact, when I traveled for training camps, I actually played on the road. That's how much I like
playing. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, tell me this. We're just going to talk some general NFL football, but I want to start in Philadelphia, which is a spot near you, and what's going on right there. Jalen Hurts, is this, I know the fan base, I got embroiled in Jalen versus anti-Jalen early in the year, and I figured out, wow, this is a major, major battle zone for Eagles fans.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think they view the quarterback position moving forward as an organization?
Well, they don't know who the starter is going to be in 22 yet. They will have their personnel meetings with Nick Sirianni, the head coach, now the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers. And they'll get his opinion, not that they haven't been talked to him. They talk to him every day, but they'll be able to take a deep dive and they'll make a decision. It's really remarkable. A lot of people don't quite realize this, but in June of 2019, they extended Carson Wentz's contract. Nine months later, they drafted Jalen Hurts to be his backup. They never imagined that Hurts would be their starting quarterback full-time at any point. But that's what happened when Wentz had a major falling out with Doug Peterson last season, the head coach, and some members of the organization. He wanted out. The Eagles resisted, and then he pressed the button harder. They finally gave in, took a lot of dead money on their cap, over $34 million, which is unheard of. But they did it, and they handed the job to Hurts for 1 year and certainly have had mixed results.
So is there, from our perspective, Adam Kaplan with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, is there any chance that they would go after Deshaun?
Well, they were involved, guys. Yeah, they were heavily involved in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, as at least three other teams were. In my reporting on the situation, there was one team, at least one, that wanted to talk to him up front, and Nick Caserio said no, he would not allow that. They wanted to get in front of him and kind of see what the issues that they could potentially be dealing with. We know about the Dolphins' interest, which is highly significant. There were some circumstances they needed to get settled. But overall, there'll still be plenty of interest because, folks, I'm working on free agency already. This is kind of what I do this time of year. This might be a record of, and you mentioned the Eagles who don't know who their starter will be for 2022 yet or beyond. There might be a third of the league that does not know who their starting quarterback will be for 22. Derek Carr's under contract through 22, but they're going to have a new general manager. What is that new general manager going to want? What's he going to want to do with Derek Carr? And there'd be a market for Derek Carr if the Raiders are willing to trade him. But I'm just telling you that if you really do a deep dive on all 32 teams, you've got 10 to 12 teams that simply don't know yet right now who their starter will be.
Did you think Mike Mayock, the situation, did that make sense to get rid of him right now? I mean, I'm not going to ask you whether you thought it's irrelevant what you think and what I think about whether or not he should have been fired, but was he given a legitimate opportunity there based on what you know about the power structure between himself and Gruden and personnel?
Well, John had full personnel control. It was in his contract, and now, he would lean on Mayock in their front office, but the setup was bad. You had John's personnel guys and Mike's people. It was just not a great mix. I've never really been a fan of giving head coaches full personnel control because they just don't have enough time to really make decisions. Now, if you're Bill Belichick who has it and has done it for many years, maybe so. But most of these situations don't work out when you give the head coach personnel control. Dan Quinn, who, by the way, is most likely going to be head coach in 22, on his last contract with Atlanta, he got it adjusted to have full personnel control. It didn't work when DQ got that. Andy Reid had it for Philly, and it kind of ended his tenure in Philly. It's never a good thing, and I don't think that worked out. And Gruden was the one, by the way, who was responsible for picking Mike. I'm told by Raider source that they both had a mutual friend that got them together. They actually didn't know each other. It was a real story. And that was sort of a shotgun wedding, so to speak. And John hired him. He met him before, talking like he didn't know who he was. But to answer your question, no, I don't think that was a great setup for Mike. He's a good man. I'm a big supporter of Mike's, and I wish him well. And it's really one of the most remarkable stories, for a guy who was just doing draft stuff like yourself. To become a general manager, which I would assume for draft guys like yourself, Lance, that would be a pretty good dream.
There's hope. Lance is going to be probably a general manager in the USFL coming up here soon.
The USFL? Oh, the new USFL.
USFL. No, I can see it. I can see that happening.
I can see it.
Adam Kaplan, NFL Insider. What are you hearing about Brian Flores, Adam?
I just know that there's this belief around the league if Casario doesn't hire a Texan, someone who's he's tight with, who worked with him in New England, it certainly would be an upset. But if Brian Flores has got the Giants, he's got other teams interested. It was a very odd parting with Miami because they were 1-7, they win 7 in a row, they have a record over 500. But what happened is the owner, Stephen Ross, got wind of some of the issues that were inside their building around surrounding Flores and quarterback and relationships, and he just had enough. And that's something Flores can improve on is his relationships wherever he goes. Really, really a good coach, though. Did a great job of turning things around there. That was probably the one only, I would say, only surprise. The thing with Culley, it's just that it was so odd that David Culley, don't forget, was the last head coach hired last year and the last one fired. That the timing was very strange.
You're telling us.
Yeah, I know. You guys lived it. That's right.
Is Gerard Mayo, what you're hearing, is Gerard Mayo ready to be a head coach in the league?
Yeah, that's a great question. You never really know. I just know he's really, really smart. Talking to people who work with him, they definitely believe he'll be a head coach someday. It's just a matter of, and by the way, it's not, there are multiple teams that are in on Mayo here, so we have to see what happens. But the thing with defensive guys is, and we're seeing this throughout the league, Mike Zimmer went through it, and unfortunately way too many times, what's your offensive staff going to look like? And that is the thing that Casario has to look at. Look, we know what just happened here. He got rid of the offensive coordinator along with Culley, which was odd because, remember, they kept Tim Kelly last year before Casario knew what was going on with Watson. They tried to placate Watson by keeping Kelly, and then they fire him. It's just bizarre to me. But these defensive head coaching candidates, they have to have a good offensive staff. That is going to be paramount for these guys to get jobs.
It's a curious position. You, from a Deshaun Watson standpoint, what's your initial sense of value for Deshaun Watson, provided things are settled before, let's say, before the NFL draft next year?
Well, the thing is, even if he has the settlements with the accusers, you have to know if your team, as one of the teams told me, they want to get a ballpark idea of how many games he'll be suspended. There are some teams that believe 6 to 8 games, which is pretty much baseline. It's always 6. Could be as many as 8. Could be more than that. Nobody knows. But I think you're going to have to get a ballpark idea because that determines value for the three. For instance, there's a strong belief it'll take 3 first-round picks and then more than that. The reason is because Kasari will have leverage. There'll be so many teams involved. Again, as I said earlier here to start this interview, there's so many teams that need a quarterback. And then when, if you, as you set it up, if we get everything cleared, who knows how many teams jump in there? There could be 6 to 8 teams. You know, it's not just Carolina, Miami, Philly. Denver, by the way, is a sleeper team for, well, they're going to have a quarterback. They have a terrible quarterback situation. They're right up there. They quietly did some homework on him, I'm told. So we'll have to see, but it's going to come down to what the teams get in terms of information, settlements, obviously, which is important, and then knowing what the league's going to do. The league, by the way, does not tip off teams. They do their best not to tip off teams what they're going to do.
Do you believe there's a Brian Flores, Deshaun Watson tie?
Well, there was, obviously, in Miami, because Flores was right out in front of that, and he got the owner on board, the GM was on board, Chris Greer. It's just they could not get everything they wanted. They were three-quarters of the way there. They just couldn't put it through the finish line there. So, yeah, I mean, but here's the problem. Organizationally, the Texans were done with Watson. They were done in the spring with him, I'm told. The coaches were told in the spring from a coaching source that there's no way Watson would play again for them. I mean, it would have to be one of the biggest turnarounds like we've ever seen. Think about that. And Casario not making the trade had nothing to do with potentially keeping Watson. It was just that he put a super high value on the player, and he probably thought, and we'll see if this is true, that a lot of this stuff could be cleared up. I think it's a gamble. We'll see if it pays off.
Do you like the way he's handled it?
Yeah, you have to put it in proper context. When you say handled it, I just talking to the teams that were involved, he made it as tough on them, and he wanted to set such a high bar for value, which is fine. That's what you should do. That, if you're a Texas fan, listen to us. That's a good thing. You want him to set a high value for an unbelievable player. Let's not forget, if 2 years ago, yeah, the record was terrible. He played great. That was not the problem. The problem was the roster that Bill O'Brien put around him. It was awful. So he was great, and he's still a great player. It's just, here's the other thing, as one of the teams told me, as we move this along here with Watson, are you comfortable with him being the face of your franchise? That's ultimately what a team must answer.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And sometimes I wonder about, it probably isn't a big deal. You'd have to go searching for it. But I do think teams are going to be looking at his Instagram, his girlfriend's Instagram, because anything and everything in this day and age, they're going to pull this, they're going to pull that. A fan base can pull whatever they want to about a player. And I feel like Deshaun has an image to rebuild.
Well, it's funny.
Right now. I mean, that obviously sounds like, oh, yeah, no crap, Lance. But, I mean, beyond just the lawsuit stuff, I feel like Deshaun's lost some of the squeaky stuff that made him so appealing as a face of the franchise guy.
Yeah. Very true, because I remember when he came out, what draft was he in? It was
17.
Was it? 17. Oh, no, I know why I said that. I actually worked with someone at ESPN who was very close to him. All that squeaky clean stuff you told me, it was like the best guy ever. You can't believe how great of a kid this is, fully accountable. And when the allegations came out, it was almost though there were people who thought he led a double life. Like, how could a guy that's so charitable and so great to people have these accusations against him? And then when you see roughly 24 accusers, you have to ask yourself, who is this guy? And that, to me, is the story with Deshaun Watson, who he is, what he is going forward, and whether you can trust him. And that to me, is ultimately going to be whoever acquires him. I still believe he will be traded. It's just, what can you do to figure that out? It's just it's really one of the most remarkable stories I could remember. And by the way, if you look at some of the articles that are out there, some of the women who've been interviewed, it's pretty damning.
And which is funny that we're talking about the Eagles, because Jeffrey Lurie is a known equal rights activist.
Yep.
So
yep.
Would he be able to handle, but you know, that Deshaun Watson is the face of his franchise?
Well, it's a great question, but he was on board because, trust me, the Eagles did an unbelievable amount of work. There's never a question that they were interested in. They were going to go forward with it to a certain degree if they could get certain things resolved. But that's certainly, obviously, one of the top storylines of this offseason. Just not him. What happens with Russell Wilson? The Seahawks try to put it out there. They're not looking to trade him. We'll see what happens in March. They'll get a ton of value for him. The Packers definitely don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers, I can tell you. As one of our front officers just repeatedly told me, he's like, are you trying to get us fired? The guy's that good. You don't trade a quarterback at the height of his career when he's putting the team on his back. So it's going to be, see, that's why, again, to move this forward here, that's why Casario is going to get a ton of value if everything checks out, because it's not a good year, and Lance knows this, to need a quarterback in the draft.
Mm-mm. It's a bad year.
Adam Kaplan here on ESPN 97.5. Again, great talking to you, Adam. Great insight. We really appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Adam Kaplan here, NFL insider. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Yeah, I just can't believe the Eagles. I just can't believe that Jeffrey Lurie, who is a known equal rights activist, is going to just say, yeah, Deshaun, I'm fine.
Yeah, and there's a difference between, you know, I could point to Michael Vick where it's not, that was a situation where Michael Vick had some personal baggage. But Michael Vick also did time. Yeah. Like Michael Vick did the crime, but also did the time. And there was, listen, everyone thought Philadelphia is going to, they'll erupt and there'll be picket signs. There was nothing. This would be a little bit different, but never, ever overestimate a fan base's willingness to forgive good players. Never overestimate that.
No. All right, it's 920 ESPN 97.5.
Or I should say, never underestimate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Greg Hardy got a job.
Yeah, never underestimate it, not overestimate. Or I should have said, you can't overestimate right. It because it is going to happen. Eagles fans?
Yeah, Eagles fans don't care.
Maybe Seahawks fans would be like, hey, wait a minute. Eagles fans?
They don't care.
I saw some of the after they got eliminated, I saw Deshaun Watson immediately started trending on Twitter after the Eagles got beat. Fire Gannon, their defense coordinator, who's interviewing for the Texans job, and Deshaun Watson were the two trending topics. And it was all about, I don't care what he did, get that man in here immediately, yep. Eagles.
Yep. Hey, get HRP into your business immediately. Why are you waiting for this? I don't understand. Why are you with a payroll company that isn't as good? Why are you putting up with your payroll company? Did they help you with through the pandemic? Did they help you with your small business loans, your unemployment claims, with your PPP? Did they help you? Did they help you every tax time and basically just do your taxes for you because they know everything about you? It can't be easier. You call up here and ask for Laura and ask her how easy it is and how wonderful it is to have HRP come tax time, because they do everything. They do it all. And that's something that you don't need that hanging over your business. And, oh, by the way, you screw up the Affordable Care Act still. Guess what? You're getting fined. It's going to cost your business. Don't. Go with experts that know what they're doing. HR experts, payroll experts, Affordable Care Act tax experts, small business loans experts. They're the best. And they've been the best for us, and they'll be the best for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Short segment here. We went long with Adam Kaplan. Are you following Super 70s sports?
I think I am. I think I have been.
Dude,
yeah.
Is funny. He tweeted out a little while ago, Teddy Roosevelt once gave an 84-minute speech with a bullet wound to the chest from a failed assassination attempt. So maybe sack up and play through your next injury, buttercup. No, so if you're not following Super 70 sports, you're missing a lot of – it's good stuff.
Aaron, you have a Twitter follow that you want to recommend to people?
Mike Carmelingo, or Camerlingo, whatever. The guy who does 60-second recaps of movies and also recaps the NFL week,
okay,
with voiceover.
Go find, can you go play?
No.
Can you?
Are they all
dirty?
Not safe for work.
Look up the
you
one where... Can you look up the Karate Kid where Ralph Macchio is the actual villain?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Can you go see if you can find that?
How do you spell Camerlingo?
C-A...
Oh, here it is.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
I got him. Yeah. I broke down the film. I'm going to follow. I think I might be following him already. Anyway, yeah, I'm following him now. That's funny stuff. See, where if
you can find the one where Ralph Macchio is actually the bully in Karate Kid, brilliant ones I've ever heard.
What about
heard.
Top Gun?
I have seen that one. I don't remember that one, but it's about it's like a homoerotic type of breakdown. Yeah. Everyone's done that, though.
Yeah.
But his stuff is really good. They're also not 60 seconds, right?
No. Well, some of them are, some of them aren't. It just depends. He
was dead on with Ralph
Macchio. If you can clean up the Ralph Macchio one, because I had always had some of those thoughts in my head. Like, why would I rewatched it with a couple of my kids, Karate Kid. And as I'm rewatching now, I'm like, why would you do that? Why are you taking the garden hose? They're trying to smoke weed in the bathroom at a school dance. All right. You've already had your little run-in with them. It's over. Why are you sneaking a garden hose over the top and you're going to spray water? Oh, because you're the tough kid from New York and you're not going to get pushed around? Learn to finesse the game, Ralph. Okay? Those little skeletons, those little karate skeletons would have been fine. Leaving you alone. They already kicked your ass or beat you up on the beach, whatever the case may have been. You're good. And even the girl kind of liked you still. You're like, you were still in good shape. You were still okay. You had some ways to go before you're going to make alliances and friends in school. And who knows? At some point, maybe you get them on your side. Why are you creating enemies with the Cobra Kai for no reason? It is on Ralph Macchio. Yeah. That was on Daniel LaRusso. He had no business poking at the hornet's nest. Do you know who didn't go? Now, I take it back. You remember the movie My Bodyguard when Mike Tandino threw Schnellenberger or Rosenberger's motorcycle where the bully?
Yeah.
Where the bully ended up needing to get another bully to take care of the bodyguard. It was Matt Dillon. Went and got the bald-headed guy, and then he threw his motorcycle into the water. That's an example of sometimes you just need to know when to. Like, did you ever met that guy who was the wrestler? Did you ever mess with him after he punched your tooth
never,
out?
Never, Ronnie Bickhouse, never.
You knew not to mess with Ronnie Bickhouse, right?
No, Ronnie won. I'm over.
Did you ever take a water hose and try to spray it all over? What's his name? Ronnie Bickhouse?
Yeah.
Did you ever try to spray water on him at a dance?
No.
Did you ever try to figure out ways to get back at him?
No, I wanted no part of Ronnie Bickhouse anymore.
Thank you. Ronnie Bickhouse was your Cobra Kai.
Right.
Except the fact that you weren't Daniel LaRusso.
No.
Even though you probably had some LaRusso qualities.
Well, and I looked a lot like Daniel.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was a kid. Yeah. So, no, but I wasn't an a-hole like Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah.
No, he was an idiot. He was an a-hole.
Yeah.
He's the one that started all of
LaRusso,
this.
LaRusso didn't know when to let it go.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, okay, I'm not saying that revenge is not a salient plot point in a movie, and I'm not saying it's not something that we all love to see. We love to see the revenge of somebody who's been bullied get their revenge. We love to see that. You can get rabbit holes on YouTube all day long about that. Instant karma videos. However, in real life, you don't mess with karate guys once you've gotten your ass kicked once. Now, you become the karate guy and all that stuff, that's great. That whole karate match, yeah, that could have taken place because after the beach ass kicking, you go find Mr. Miyagi, you wash his car, you sand his floors, you do all that stuff, and then you go take them on with your crane kick. What you don't do is unnecessarily provoke the Cobra Kai. That's what you don't do. Of course, then again, that's when Miyagi came and saved him, kicked the guy in the nuts, and it kind of started the whole thing. Yeah. I get that.
Absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776, one segment to go here, and then... And then, news of the weird. So we got plenty to do here. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Holy crap, I hadn't seen that, but I'm following Mike Camerlingo now. John Morant's block the other night against the Lakers.
Bananas.
Was
one of the greatest elevations of all time. It was I was listening to my son Mason loves NBA basketball, loves it. So we're listening to NBA radio on XM coming home, and they had Mark Jackson on, and they brought up that block. It was It's Eddie Johnson is one of the hosts and Mark Jackson. And he said, he goes, that was like David Thompson level stuff. And Mark goes, easy now. You're dating yourself. He goes, I don't care. David Thompson's the guy that is the perfect example. David supposedly was able to put quarters up on a backboard or whatever, but stack quarters.
He
but
jump.
John Morant's elevation there is easily 43 to 44 inches of vertical leap.
Holy
crap. He smacked his forehead on the backboard.
Yeah, he's that's stupid.
I'd say since he's got a running start, it's probably close to over 4 feet off the ground.
So the other night, I was at the Rockets Minnesota game last week. And one of the Timberwolves hit his head on the backboard.
Yeah,
hit his forehead on the backboard, and it stopped him. Yeah, he and John Morant. That's the highest I've seen anyone ever jump. Holy!
John Morant's head was way above the backboard. Oh, yeah. It was slightly above the rim.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Good stuff. Anyway, so you got that ready? No. Okay. All right. Oh, no, you got
the one Lance is talking about is like a 4.5
yeah,
minute
that's,
video.
That's long.
It's 4.5 million. It's a brilliance.
That's from his full podcast, I think.
Yeah. It's 4.5 million. It's a brilliance, and it's absolutely 100% spot on. The guy absolutely sells you on why Daniel's the bully, and he makes the points.
He makes a lot of points. A lot of great points. All right, recapping the show and what you're going to hear for the rest of the day here. Jonathan Gannon, we hadn't really touched on that. The Eagles defensive coordinator is going to be, well, he's interviewing here and he's going to be interviewing at a few more places. Not sure about Josh McDaniels. There's a story out. It's Pro Football Talk, I believe, or it's Boston.com that there's not a lot of interest in Josh McDaniels right now. And, you know, it's a long offseason, so maybe that'll happen. But it would be shocking to me that they don't – I think they know everything they need to know here about Josh McDaniels, don't you think? Does Josh McDaniels even need to interview here?
No.
No.
No. He doesn't.
They've worked with him.
Did Nick Caserio need to interview here?
No, he didn't.
He didn't interview here.
Got in Kel's plane and picked him up and brought him here.
He didn't interview the first time either, by the way. I've seen that put out there. That isn't accurate either. He didn't interview the first time they looked into him and the Patriots started fighting back with tampering allegations. There was no official interview then either.
No.
So, no, he didn't have to interview. He got hired. Josh McDaniels doesn't have to get interviewed.
I mean, we saw Josh McDaniels in a
last, I mean, he should have last, to, last, but the reality is he doesn't.
But last week in a tweet, we saw him, I mean, a strong man hug with Jack Easterby. Josh McDaniels was Jack Easterby walked up and McDaniels just wouldn't let him go. He loves Jack Easterby so much, so he doesn't need to interview here. That's for sure. Jerod Mayo is allegedly going to interview here, although we haven't seen that offer out there. I think they're probably being coy with it, being, oh no, we didn't fire David Culley so we get Jerod Mayo right away.
We didn't fire him for a Patriot guy. What are you talking about? We're going to hire a Patriot guy. Did you just see we did a Steeler guy?
It shall be just coincidence.
We're getting the Eagles defense coordinator. We're looking at the coordinator, offense coordinator for and Vince Lombardi's grandson.
Yeah,
we're looking at him. We're going to look at a ton of people. I mean, Hines, we're going to go with the best player.
We're even going to FAU.
We're going with the best linebacker. We're going with the best candidate, no matter what.
Right.
We don't care if he coached for New England or whatever. What?
That's
I mean, if he's the best, yeah, but no. I don't even know if we're even going to interview. Actually, you know what? We probably won't even interview him. I mean, all right, we'll give him a token interview. Wow, he really blew us away.
Wow.
Jerod Mayo.
Can't pass on him.
Can't pass on him. Jerod Mayo.
The Rams dominated the Cardinals last night. Cliff Kingsbury. I got to believe Cliff's going to be in a little bit of trouble, man. Not when you have the record. We started the show with this.
Read
off his record. And the last 5 or 6 weeks of every season has been.
The Action Network put this together. They gamble. It's a gambling site, so they pay attention to trends like these. Starting in 2013, lost 5 of 6. 2014.
This is to end the season.
To end the season.
His last 6 games, he lost 5.
5 of his last 6. 2014, lost 4 of his last 6, lost 4 of his last 6, lost 6 of his last 8, lost 6 of his last 8, lost 5 of his last 5, lost 7. Now those were 6 consecutive years with Texas Tech, 13-18. That was pretty bad to end the season. Now we're with the Cardinals, 2019, 20, and 21. Here we go. lost 7 of 9, lost 5 of 7, lost 5 of 6. With the Cardinals, he is, let's see, 5 and 17 over that time frame. Now granted, they cherry pick a time frame, but it's fair because there is a relatively expansive number of losses in that time frame.
And, five of six. I mean,
So that's now nine.
It's got to be worrisome for the organization.
That's nine straight years where Cliff Kingsbury has lost that many games.
Is there any reason for it? Has Cliff become?
Is there a reason for the trend?
Yeah, teams catch up to him.
There's got to be. The one thing you could look at with in college is maybe Texas Tech had the same schedule every year, where Texas and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, they may have had now Texas was always, I think, a little earlier, but he may have had some type of quote unquote murderer's row late in the year. Maybe that was some of it, but 6 years in a row?
Yeah.
Now the Cardinals, what's your excuse now when you don't have that same issue? I think there's got to be something to it. I think maybe teams catch up with the offense a little. They get more tape. They start to scheme it differently. Maybe he's had bad luck with physical. You know, there's clearly, would he have lost that many if he had DeAndre Hopkins a whole year?
I don't know. It's DeAndre Hopkins. We wouldn't have made a difference last night, that's for sure.
No, not last night.
No. You lose good football players. He lost J.J. Watt for all that time. He lost Kyler Murray for the entire month of November.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some pretty serious injuries they've had to deal with. So I think that's worth taking a look at. Nine straight years, John.
Hey, listen, if I'm ownership, I'm looking at that and saying, Cliff, you got to get better at the end of years. That's all there is to
it. You think they'll get rid of him?
Not this year.
Mike McCarthy, you think he'll be gone?
No. I don't either. Stephen Jones said he's staying.
I think everyone who's going to be fired has been fired. Anybody in the playoffs still?
The Cardinals won 11 games. How are you going to fire a guy?
I mean, Marty Schottenheimer got with 12 in a 16-game schedule.
Yeah, but that was year after year after year after year.
Of winning.
Yeah, and losing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right.
That was one they said, we know he's really good. Let's just take a chance, see if we can find something better.
And guess
they
what?
Didn't.
And guess what? They haven't been the same since.
No.
No. They haven't been the same since. Hey, it's 9:43. News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And that's no jab at the people here.
SiteJab, the website is easy to find, SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com. So here's what SiteJab will do for you. They will take your website and dress it up and make it look great. They find the colors that pop. They know about the layout, what it's supposed to look like. The analytics for websites are so far advanced right now. It allows the website designers, and it allows you to see what pages do people land on the longest. How long do they stay on your website? What is it that draws their attention? There's so much that can be gleaned from website, and they help you find it. And the reason that's important is because you want people to stay engaged with your site. You want them to find what it is that you do. You want them to be able to contact you easily, see the portfolio of work you have e-commerce transactions through the site, do video integration, have a company that can create video content for you and branding for you, maybe even handle your marketing and social media. They can do it all. Go to the website at sitejab.com, sitejab.com, click the Let's Meet button in the upper right-hand corner and start the process. Sitejab.com, building websites, creating leads, sitejab.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, here's a tough one. Lance, remember all you can eat at the Chinese restaurant? The Ricky Labi.
Yeah, he got kicked out for having baby in belly.
Yeah, he got kicked out. Remember we did
that's
that?
That's one of the original body shamers, were those ladies that own the Chinese buffet.
No, you can't. You got to go.
Oh, boy.
I said, no, you got to go.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So, apparently, if we got another Ricky LaBee, only it's a she.
Ricky LaShe?
A $50 all-you-can-eat sushi buffet. How many rolls do you think she... Rolls, not pieces of sushi. How many rolls do you think she ate?
Eight.
More.
Ten.
Higher.
How big are these maque or regular rolls? The maque are smaller. 14?
Higher.
16.
32. Well, she's in the hospital.
So they didn't kick her out.
No, she went. She was rushed to the hospital.
You know what? If I'm going to spend... Okay, first of all, tell me where it was.
It was...
What state?
In California.
Okay.
Mountain View, California.
If you are paying 50, you're probably like, man, I know sushi's expensive, but if you're going to buffet, you're probably not going for high quality.
I mean, these were big rolls, dude. Big rolls. And she had 32. 32.
So she thought she was going to flex.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Ended up in the hospital.
32.
Paris,
how many could you eat? Six?
No, I don't even think I could do that. Not no.
No, if you're trying
to eat. A lot of rice.
If you're trying to sport eat.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you got to eat fast.
Yeah.
It's going to get you.
It is going to get you. Paris Hilton's Netflix cooking show is canceled after one season. What are you going to miss most about it?
When she made truffle butter.
Did she?
Yep.
You sure she made truffle butter?
It's delicious.
Did you ever?
You take butter, you take black shaved truffles, mix, add garlic.
Are you the reason that it's being canceled because you didn't watch it?
I didn't watch it. Mm-hmm. I know my daughter likes to watch cooking shows. I'm not going to let her watch Paris Hilton's cooking show. I'm just always worried about what's going to show up. Just like if it's Kardashians cooking, like,
no.
Just don't know. Don't know what's going to pop up on the screen.
What do you think is going to pop up on the screen? One of their other movies?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
More than 23,000 people signed a petition to reinstate a female bus driver who was fired because she was too short. After 34 years on the job, they decided she was too short now.
Meaning what?
Do you think Christina should be a bus driver?
Wait, that's one of our listeners.
I know.
She's little too.
She is little too. I don't know if I want Christina driving the bus though. If you want to know the truth, no, pretty sure.
No,
she'd kill those kids.
She what?
She'd kill those kids.
Oh, that's ugly. Christina killing kids.
I'd prefer long limb bus drivers, I guess, now that I think about it.
I guess. But if you did it for 34 years, you could probably keep on
doing
it.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, right. I'm not trying to hire them now.
No, no. A Washington man was arrested for stealing a car. Do you think he should have asked police if he can smoke meth before they take him in?
Yeah, why not?
Might as well.
What are they going to do? Just say no?
You're going to prison anyway for stealing a car.
Now, you know, the one thing they always say is ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Right.
That's when you probably should just ask for permission.
Yeah, you should probably just smoke the meth.
You're saying do that.
Smoke the meth and then say, what? I can't do this?
I think the permission, it keeps you from getting another charge added.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you did need to ask for permission instead of forgiveness.
Well, but you probably are going to be busted with possession since you have it on you.
Yeah, true.
Can I smoke meth? I got it right here. Okay. What are they going to do?
Listen.
If you're smoking it or possessing it?
Guys, you mind if I freebase this cocaine in the back of your car?
Right.
I mean, can you get out at least? Well, wait.
Have you seen Coal Creek Ranch in Colorado? You know they had more than 100 homes burned? Yeah. Did you see the fires in Colorado?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
That was a while back, though, right?
Well, no. It's actually pretty recent, isn't it?
If you tell me that this happened because of another stupid gender reveal.
No, but I do know this. The HOA, pay us our dues.
Burned houses?
They're still charging the people who lost their homes in that fire. The HOA says,
Oh my God.
We ain't backing up.
Where is this?
Are they the worst people? The worst people ever?
What's it called? HOA
Coal Creek Mountain. Coal Creek. The QAnon anti-vaxxer who claimed only idiots would die of COVID. Guess what happened?
Nope.
Yep, happened. She died.
Yeah, but that's happened a few times.
Yeah. Kirsten Weldon. She told everyone you're idiots and you won't die of COVID.
You know what? That's like saying...
Dead.
That's like saying this game is over. Like, don't worry. This game is a lock in the third quarter. That's like saying there's no way my house would ever get hit by a tornado. Like, you just certain things you don't. Isn't that one of those things you don't say?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going hiking. Guess I will guarantee you I will never be attacked by a wild animal and killed on the hiking trail.
No, I will never get
struck by
lightning.
Why would you say that? Yeah, like, well, I say I will. I show respect and deference to the lightning.
Right.
You never say things like, COVID will never kill me.
Okay. New study shows how much wasted time per day do you think, how much time every day do people waste on average?
You'd have to define it.
On hold, not doing any,
watching
stuck in
shows?
Traffic, yep. Well, I think, don't know that watching a show is actually wasting
time.
So
if you sleep, well, for me, I sleep like 6.5 hours. So if you do
waiting
that.
Waiting in lines. Sitting in traffic.
Is watching TV considered wasting time?
No, because you're doing something.
Okay.
Browsing social media? That is wasting time?
Okay. Let me guess. 13 hours.
Per day?
Yeah.
No, two. 2 hours per day. You waste time. Sitting in traffic or on hold or...
That's wrong. 2 hours?
Browsing social media?
Browsing the internet? Isn't that considered wasting time?
Wasting time, waiting for laundry to dry, waiting for service at a restaurant, waiting for a delivery. That's wasting time, yes. Those are all wasting times.
So listening to music, watching TV is not wasting time. I still think the number's higher than two. As soon as you say computer and screen time, that's over 2 hours for most people.
I would imagine. It's way more than... That was in London.
You double everything here.
Apparently, the Omicron variant has reached China. It had not had the Omicron. And guess what China did?
What?
They're blaming the mail from Canada on... China is blaming Canada for the...
That's pretty rich, China. That is a pretty rich move, China. That is ballsy.
Hey, Canada, what are you doing over there?
Hey, COVID. Hey, no thanks for your stupid COVID. Like, you know it originated in Wuhan,
China,
right?
China has some
the
big ones.
The balls on Canada to blame. Look at, I can't believe these scumbags are blaming us for the Wuhan, for Omicron. You scumbags started it. Yeah, they're the ones who started.
Well, how does China respond?
Yeah, it was you guys, not us, bro. I think it sounds exactly like
that's
that. Nice try.
956.
Nice try, Johnny.
ESPN 97.5.
I remember one time I did a Yao imitation, and it was a great imitation. Yeah. And now I just realize now, like, it's just not, doesn't really make a lot of
probably
sense.
Shouldn't do that.
Uh-huh. Doesn't make
I would
a lot
never
of sense.
Do something like that. We're done. Charlie Polillo is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, buddy. 17. You know the truth can be a weapon to fight this world of ill intentions. A new answer to the same question. How many times will you learn the same lesson? I think they got it all wrong. We just gotta hold on. And on and on and on. 'Cause we're gonna be legends. Bye, bitch. ESPN 97.5.